Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California, with Andy Stevens, Owen Main, and Luke Johnson.
Have you guys ever wanted to be up in the stars, looking down from the moon? Well, that's where I am right now. I'm up in the stars. I'm in the moon. I'm somewhere where no one's ever been before besides the astronauts. I'm here. You're down there. Ooh.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. It is, what day is this? Thursday?
Thursday. I don't even know anymore.
And it's podcast number 67.
67.
Episode 67.
Epic, epic.
Yeah.
I think last time I was here was about 50, so I've taken about 17 shows off.
It's about right.
Andy's been on a leave of absence.
They call it a hiatus. Yeah. Yeah.
Still getting paid, though?
Sabbatical?
Yes.
Just as much.
Just as much as I was before.
No difference at all. Welcome to the podcast. We have the Slow Late Show guys in here today from ESPN Radio 1280 in San Luis. We have, as CJ Silas says, Bob, Bob, Bobbity, Bob, Bob, Bob.
How's it going, guys?
Good. And also Alex Klupper.
Yes.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. And how are you?
Awesome. We'll get kind of more in-depth with those guys in a second, but first I got to give Luke a little bit of a hard time here. Luke, you're a wet blanket.
That just sounds inappropriate.
You are a Yasiel Puig wet blanket.
I'm not a wet blanket. I'm a realist. Upset. I'm a realist, Owen. Okay. I'm not a wet blanket.
So Yasiel Puig has this past week.
He's played great for six games.
He's had a historic.
Isn't he hurt?
An historic start. In
historic
his first week,
start. No, no.
In his first six no. games in the major
six,
leagues.
Six
he
games.
Has made, he has NL Player of the Week.
Six games is not defined history. That's not historic.
I didn't say it is historic.
That's not historic.
It's the best start
historic,
a Dodger has had since 1900.
Historic would be something that's a little more like, you know, throughout the entirety of something. So like Mike Trout last year was historic throughout an entire season.
Well, all I'm hearing is a squishy sound, like a wet blanket.
In fairness, it has been 10 games now that he's been in.
Okay, so 10 games. Yeah. Look, 10 games in baseball is like what?
He's taken only played like, in like 7 or 8, though.
Yeah, there you go.
And one of them he got kicked out of.
10 games, Owen. I mean, I think he looks good. He's a good-looking ball player. He looks like a running back in a baseball uniform.
Squish.
Does he look exciting for 10 games? Yeah, but baseball's not 10 games, dude.
Of course.
If this was the NFL and he was a running back, we would care a little more because this would be 10 weeks into the season and he's put up what? We'll say like 1,200 yards.
It would
That's
be like,
a big deal.
It would be like 1,500 yards 10 games into the season.
Okay, exactly. So, but
1,500 or like 1,700.
But that's the NFL,
right.
And this is baseball.
Historic pace.
Okay.
All right. Gotcha. So I'm not saying it's going to last forever, Luke. And I know you were mad at me because you thought I.
I'm a little offended with the comments that you've made
because you thought I dissed Mike Trout.
You totally disrespected Mike Trout.
And you're an Angel fan.
I am an Angel fan.
And so you thought I disrespected Mike Trout last year when I said that eventually he'd be a 25 home run guy.
No. But you didn't say it like that. You said, yeah, I think he's going to be like a overpaid, like 25 home run, like doesn't really steal bases anymore kind of guy.
Here's what I think.
Kind of like Matt Kemp. And there's like no similarities to those two guys.
Here's what I really, in like 5 or 10 years there will be. Here's my contention, and I think this is what really makes you mad. It's that in 1 week, Yasiel Puig got more pub probably in L.A. and from L.A. sports fans than Mike Trout got.
Because I argue there's very few sports purists left in the world. A sports purist, like I made a point to you the other day, was
it's,
a sport like Mike Trout could play in Kansas City, and a sports purist would pay attention to Mike Trout still.
Right.
But we live out here like close to Hollywood, and I'm really offended that you're actually having engaged in this Hollywood isms.
All I'm saying is that
Yasiel Puig is a Hollywood ism.
Yasiel who?
Yasiel Puig. He's a Hollywood ism.
I'll say two things and then we'll get off the topic. One thing is that in LA it's better to be relevant than good. Okay? It's better to be exciting than good a lot of the time. The other thing that I'll say is that when you're on the Dodgers, that's what happens. And when you're on the Angels, that's what happens.
Well, a lot of it does have to do with the difference between being a Dodger and being an Angel. You know, you might not, you know, as an Angel fan, believe that, but, you know, L.A. is a Dodger town. And, yeah, no. I mean, I saw this guy Puig play in spring training. We went down there, and he was something like 27 for 49. I mean, that's just unbelievable.
And
I mean,
at Dodger Stadium, Andy, this last Thursday, I got a chance to go down there. And he had hit, I think, two home runs in his first three games. Comes up with the bases loaded in the eighth inning, it was seventh or eighth, hit a grand slam, like, on the first pitch he saw. The pitching coach came out, talked to the guy, I think it was, who were they playing? I don't even remember. That's how much it was awesome. That's how awesome it was. And I think it was Atlanta, it was Hudson, yeah. And so the pitching coach came out, talked to the guy, first pitch, bam, over the right field wall. And I haven't ever seen Dodger Stadium that electric since they went to the playoffs. Yeah. And so we'll let's bring in the guys from the Late Show. Neither one of them are Dodger fans.
Hold on. I just want to say that I've also seen Bob Hamlin be electric on, you know, occasional nights in 95 when he won, you know, Rookie of the Year. You know, out of shape, Bob Hamlin. Okay?
Bob Hamlin.
So, yeah, Bob Hamlin, Rookie of the Year, American League. Look it up.
From Star Wars? Wait a minute.
Oh. Bob Hamlin. Yeah, Bob Hamlin. I know, exactly. He's that, like, irrelevant. Bob Hamlin, Rookie of the Year, 95, with the Twins. With the Twins, right? No, the Royals, excuse me.
What do you Late Show guys think? I mean, as far... I know neither of you are Dodger fans, but what's the...
I'm an A's fan, so I hate the Angels.
You do hate the Angels.
But
I hate you.
I hate you, too. Nice to meet you. I mean, I see both your guys' points. Mike Trout had arguably the best rookie season ever.
Was consistent.
And he should have been MVP last year.
And not even a sophomore slump this year.
But at the same time, I have some stats here. Through the first 10 games, Puig, his OPS is at almost 1.4, which is better than Barry Bonds every
year. Sure, exactly.
Through the first 10 games, even of Trout's second tenure, which is actually his rookie year last year, 0.8. But it's not the first 10 games that Puig has had. And, I mean, Puig, he's shown his arm already. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's had very clutch moments already. And we can argue about whether clutch is actually a real factor.
And Jamie Lee Curtis was good looking in the 70s.
Exactly. Well, I'm not going to say Puig was going to be the best baseball player in America 2040.
But I don't think, I mean, when you look at the guy and the tools that he has, I don't think it's a fluke. I mean, you can argue that it is, but look at the guy. I mean, he's a freak. I saw him turn a double into a triple that, you know, Jose Reyes couldn't even do. Yeah. I mean, it was just unbelievable. The guy's just like, I don't know. I think he reminds me of, and this might be overhyping him a little bit, but of Bo Jackson. You know, probably not as athletic of an outfielder. In fact, we almost saw him hurt his wrist. Remember that play?
He's awkward.
He is a little bit awkward. Yeah. I mean, but as far as the combination of speed and power, I would compare him to Bo Jackson.
I feel like Puig and Trout, both of them are going to be guys we're going to be talking about for the next 10 years, unlike some of these guys. And sorry, I know that Alex likes to pull out his stats and he uses those against me quite often. So
yes.
So we'll let him stick to those stats. I think that Trout has more of a future, though, than Puig. Puig's too flashy for me.
Okay. Too flashy, fair enough.
Okay. He does. I mean, he's young. He likes his flash. But he matches for the Dodgers, doesn't he?
And just to point this out, Bobby's a Padres fan, so maybe he's just trying to bag on the Dodgers.
Yeah, I'm wearing a Twins hat, but I'm a Padre fan.
How did that happen?
Wardrobe malfunction. Grab the wrong one.
You know, I mean, being a Padres fan. Having gone to college in San Diego.
You were 7 years old, randomly grabbed that hat. Grabbed your dad was like, don't grab that. That's
been
bad news.
Been a Padres fan since.
Although, Bobby has some explaining to do. He is a Minnesota Vikings fan.
Yeah.
That's like his favorite team of any sports.
Diehard Vikings fan. Above anything else, diehard Vikings fan. But I don't know. I've just got kind of crazy teams all over the place, but Padres is one of them. Mm-hmm.
I just want to clarify that I think Yasiel Puig has been great for 10 games.
Yes, I agree.
Isn't that just being a realist, being great? I mean, he's saying he's been great for 10 games.
But why can't I be excited about that?
You can totally be excited about that. But when you start to compare and bust stats out about how he's... And then all of a sudden we're talking about Mike Trout. I mean, where does Mike Trout even come in the conversation? Mike Trout had a season last year that's unparalleled by a rookie. He shouldn't even be in the conversation.
But isn't that... like? inherently in our nature to just compare automatically, to start making comparisons.
The we Angels had a good one
and,
last
and,
year.
And then we Dodgers always come back year. After the fact and say, well, why do we always compare? And it's not fair, but we always do it. So,
if Harper was in L.A., I think it would be doing the same thing. It's just who the guys are playing at such a young age and at such a high level in, you know, the same town.
But I would say Bryce Harper's even had a – I mean, come on. I mean, look at what he's done for, what, a year and a half now? Like I said, you know, I've told on this. I've told many Dodger fans this. He looks great.
Can I be excited?
If yeah,
yes or no,
be excited. You know what? The kind of seasons we're having, yeah, be excited.
Yeah, you got to be excited about something.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I'll back you up, Luke, in this. Trout is actually still younger than Puig.
That's correct.
He's at least a year younger. I mean, so he could be this good in a 10-game stretch next year, or even this year. So,
and I think the youth thing is interesting with Puig and with Trout both, because in baseball, if you come up when you're 20, you end up being 33 like Alex Rodriguez, not 33 like, I don't know, somebody who went to college for longer. It's like Kobe Bryant time, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So, Bob, I know you got to run.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come right back on the podcast. And thanks, Bob, for coming.
Hey, thanks for having Bob. Me, guys. Right. Love to do it again.
Yeah.
When it began to pour, it started to rain. And after pouring, it became raining again. And again, and again. I am the cloud man. My clouds soar through the wind. Winds soar through me. And clouds soar through the wind. As the cloud man, I do these things. I oversee the clouds, and the clouds oversee me. When the rain comes near, the clouds come through, and the rain will always pour until it is through. The cloud man is someone who will always be there. Believe in the cloud man, because he believes in you.
What was that?
You scared me. We're back on the podcast.
That's the kind of voice we need on the late night show.
Luke's got the sweetest voice in the world.
Yeah, Luke has the pipes out of us.
Totally.
Yeah.
And J.D. Scroggin likes Luke's pipes, too, quite a bit. And Dave's pipes, too. He's always impressed with our...
And then J.D.'s like, did they, like, slow his voice down? Or is that, like, digitally enhanced? Like, no, that's really his voice.
That's Andy's father.
Welcome to the fansmanship.com podcast.
That's Andy's dad, Big Dave. And we're going to have some new drops from Dave. I got a CD right here, so we'll probably have a few even
and
in
we're
this.
Back.
And we're back with Alex Klepper.
He's like the guy, you remember the guy that brings you back from Monday Night Football when you listen to him on the radio? It's like, it's way overdone. He's talking so don't you.
On the Dial Global
Monday Night Football. It's like, whoa.
That guy's got an amazing voice. We have Alex Klepper here from the Slow Late Show on ESPN Radio. It's Wednesday nights from 10 to 12. Is that correct?
Yes, indeed.
And Wednesday night's a fun one on ESPN Radio. You got
CJ?
You got
party going on.
Sports Bite. You got CJ
Living the Run.
Sports Bite Living the Run with not Ryan Ferrand anymore. It's Rex Stevens.
Rex Stevens. Yeah,
join me, Rex Stevens. Yeah. So and Paul Terrick.
Paul Terrick.
And
sometimes Adam Melhuis.
So I got to tell you something about Paul Terrick.
Oh really? Adam goes on the show.
Yeah, Melhuis was on there.
He's a pinch hitter, and they call him
perfect.
So Terrick. You hear his voice, and I pictured him a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be honest. And I see this guy, and he's like, you know, late 20s maybe. I don't know what he looks like.
I think he's early 30s.
Okay.
But,
yeah. I mean, just like super fit, you know. Totally. And I was picturing him like a running coach or something like that, like maybe whatever. But, I mean, I'm sure he is. But
yeah. Oh, yeah. He's in shape. They joke about him not being in shape, and it's like him being in shape is anyone else's, you know. Is very envious.
I'd be
because I mean he was in the Olympics, so I mean in shape to him is a little bit different than in shape.
Yeah,
for us.
Right. It's like calling me tiny, you know, or something like that. You know, it's like the joke that you know.
Yeah, it's a joke. Yeah, absolutely. So, Alex, where are you from? Like, what's your story? You from north?
Yeah, from Sacramento area originally, about 30 miles east Sacramento, actually. So in between there and Tahoe.
Okay.
Went up to Tahoe a lot during the winter and went to the beach a little during the summer. Loved that area. But came down here for Cal Poly, graduated last year, and hope to not have to leave. Do whatever I can to stay here. I love, like, this is, I don't know why anyone would want to leave here or not live here. So, right.
So what are your thoughts on the Kings?
I'm really well, obviously, I'm just ecstatic that they're the Kings still. That was, I mean, that's my main team. I'm also an A's fan and Raiders fan and Sharks fan, but that's the team I grew up with. You know, when I was 11, 12, that's when they're in their heyday, Vlade and Peja and Weber and whatnot. And basketball's my favorite sport anyways. So, you know, we seem to be on the right track with Vivek, you know, leading the team. And now we got Michael Malone from the Warriors. I like the direction we're heading, but really I'm just ecstatic that we're here. I mean, if we still lose for the next five seasons in a row, I'll be happy as long as we have the Kings in town. So
yeah, and I know that early 2000s I followed the Kings a lot because I was a Laker fan, and those were some epic battles, and we'll talk about those.
What was it, game six?
Game six.
When the Lakers shot 39 free throws and the Kings shot 10?
27 in the fourth quarter, yeah.
And that the Kings shot 10 for the game, I think.
Yeah, yeah, the biggest screw job in sports history.
Definitely stole. That was Stern stealing the show.
Though, yeah, Ralph, you know, Nader called for an investigation.
Ralph Nader called, yes.
Yeah, Mike Wilbon. Mike Wilbon, like, he was just going off, and he had a... there's articles left and right
about
it.
There are two in the building, just so you know. There are two diehards here. And those 39 free throws were all earned.
So I got to picture this, Alex. I'm in college, and I have a column at UC San Diego. Okay. And pretty much like every other week, I got like a weekly column. Every other week was like a column about the NBA. And usually it had some poking at the Kings. I there were a lot of Sacramento people at UCSD, and I had to kind of get under their skin, I guess, and I efforted that for sure. And,
okay. All right.
And you know, certainly. Do you feel like that's a team that maybe should have won a championship? Is there like a missed opportunity?
Yeah,
there? I feel like Trailblazer fans that first year the Lakers won the championship 2000 have to feel pretty bad about it.
Totally.
And same with Kings fans the next 2 years.
Yeah, totally. Trailblazers, I mean, they kind of collapsed themselves. There's no ref controversy. They totally choked. For us at next year, I mean, game six, I still say is the worst officiated game in sports history. But game seven, I mean,
because the Kings were up 3-2, right?
Yeah, they're up 3-2. Yeah. If they win that game, they win the
goal. I was gripping.
And they would have beat the Nets. I mean,
yeah. Where was I staying?
With now Nets head coach Jason Kidd at the helm. But game seven, I mean, we played well, but then as the fourth quarter went on, Doug Christie airball, Peja airball.
Yep.
The year after that, Chris Webber goes down, and we're never the same again. Chris Webber, we were playing the Mavericks in the second round, and he goes up for an alley-oop, blows out his knee, and that's the end of the era.
Lost in seven, right?
That's serious. Yep. And after that, I mean, Peja kind of...
I think it was Nick Van Exel who, like, ate you guys alive in that series.
Yeah.
The bench.
Yeah, he did that. I hated Nick.
So we've talked about, and this is a question I actually ask people a lot, because I feel like the Dodgers over the last few years have had a lot of recycled giants, and I hate it.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. I mean, Jeff Kent did a lot for the Dodgers, but he's a recycled giant. Jason Schmidt just ate up money. I mean, there's lots of guys who you're like, oh my God, not another recycled giant. Something I always made fun of the Kings fans for, the Kings four, is like, you know, Vlade, Doug Christie, Anthony Peeler for a time. You know, you had a lot of kind of recycled Lakers at the time.
How
did you feel about that during that time?
I never really saw Vlade as a Laker. I kind of got into...
I was number 12 all through.
Oh, really? So I guess that was a little more in your mind than mine. And then he went there afterwards for, what, like one season? And he didn't really even play. He went back.
Yeah, he finished with the Lakers.
Yeah. Okay. So, which was strange, but, I mean, his jersey's retired in Sacramento now. So I never saw that as too strange, especially since I kind of came on when he was already... Because, I mean, my parents aren't really sports fans, so I kind of had to start liking sports on my own. I never really... Like, my dad isn't even really that much of a sports fan. He likes to watch and basketball with me. But,
okay.
So once it started getting good, Vlade was already there, and I wasn't really too much in history yet. I guess, you know, 10 years old.
Yeah.
But... yeah, now if someone, you know, if back in the day Rick Fox all of a sudden joined the Kings, I would not know what to do, because Rick Fox is...
He hated the Kings.
Oh, that was my all-time least favorite player, and it still is.
But But here's the thing that I
didn't Doug Christie's wife like beat him with a handbag?
Oh no, Doug Christie beat him
with a handbag, and then Christie and Fox got into it. In a preseason game.
Yeah, Christie
after a preseason.
Wow, that's hate right there. Preseason. That's getting deep.
He uppercutted Fox, and I had that picture on my laptop for a while. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
You know what I appreciated about Fox, and I don't think guys are built this way as much anymore. I think maybe there's a few, but it's
because he was so good looking.
the voice matched his looks too. Yeah, he's very suave.
What I appreciated is that you don't get guys that dislike other teams very much anymore. And you know, as much as I hate Bill Laimbeer for it, because he still talks trash about the Lakers, you can tell he still hates the Lakers whenever you see him interviewed. It's the same thing with Fox and the Kings. He genuinely disliked the Kings, and you don't see that very much anymore. And I think there's something like that gets fans fired up about that. It's the thing that made fans super interested when the Dodgers and Diamondbacks brawled the other
day. So let me just throw in this wrench then. What was the big deal then when LeBron back in 2009 didn't shake the Celtics' hands? He hated the Celtics.
Yeah.
But that was a big deal. Like, oh, you know what, LeBron's though? A poor loser.
I don't think it was. It wasn't because he hated the Celtics, though. I don't think it was because he hated the Celtics. It was because he was pouting. I think there's a difference.
But
I think
that was Fox, the interpretation.
At the end of Fox probably shook Doug Christie's hand.
I don't know about that. Well, maybe I don't know Fox and Christie, but
I don't know. I'm guessing.
There's a difference between having something personal against one person or then just pouting, I don't like this whole team. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a difference there. You have something personal with that person where their wives were getting into it or whatever. And this is just a guy pouting after losing. So, I mean, you know.
Not liking the team
pace.
Versus
I mean, let's
pouting.
Not hate on LeBron so much. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's made some mistakes, but everyone has. It's just growing pains. I think we just magnify him a lot more because he is who he is.
Because he's the anointed one.
Yeah.
And speaking of LeBron, update. The last time I heard it was 26-24 Miami. Not that it'll be relevant at this
LeBron
point.
LeBron has 11.
LeBron has 11 points through before a quarter.
Yeah.
And Luke was gripping. And because Luke's a big LeBron supporter. And
I mean, it's not hard.
Yeah. I totally agree. I mean, he's the best player in the world.
I mean, I'm not like a Heat fan or a Cavs fan or whatever fan, but he's you know. But
it's fun to watch greatness, you know?
Yeah,
and that's
great.
What he is. He's. Yeah. I think he's been the best player in the league since at least 08.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, and it'll be interesting to see. I think he's going to be judged a lot if they don't win this finals. I mean, people are going to talk about how great San Antonio is.
Yeah.
But this year, you know, the Heat railed up, you know, how many wins in a
27,
row?
27, yeah.
And how many, you know, out of how many? I think it was like 42 out of 45 or something at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Something silly like that. If they lose in the championship series, it's really going to be a disappointment. Nationally.
Well, let's talk next step, though. What do you see as Chris Bosh's future? Will they resign him? Are they going to go a different direction? Number two, how many more years do you think Dwayne Wade has left in the tank? I mean, it seems like there's always something wrong with his knee or his ankle. What do you guys think about those two questions? Obviously, LeBron's going to be there. He's their centerpiece. Do you go out and get another big-name free agent and cut a guy like Bosh loose?
Can you do that? Is it even possible?
The word on the street is that, one, Dwayne Wade has never been a hard worker. That's just what I've read, I've heard.
That's
he's not a big stay-in-the-gym guy, and hence perhaps why his shooting is not very good.
And why
his
body is breaking down so quickly?
He's just not a shooter. He's always relied on that athleticism, you know, getting to the hoop, getting the fouls, blah, blah, blah. Bosh is just a wuss and whatever. But I think... But all these guys can opt out at the end of next year.
Yes.
And my prediction is that that's going to happen. Wade's not going to opt out because he's a fat contract and no one's going to want him. Bosh, he might opt out because he still wants to prove he's some go-to guy somewhere crappy. And I think LeBron, I think LeBron's going to either go to, you ready for this? I think the storyline is he goes back to the Cavs because they have Kyrie Irving and all these guys. But I think, and this is what ticks me off, I have a sick feeling in my stomach. He goes to the Lakers.
I would hate that so much.
And all of a sudden, Laker fans love the guy.
No, totally. Because that's like their number one enemy right now. Lakers fans are like,
it's a good hunch, right?
Listen, Luke. I mean, listen. If the Lakers got LeBron James, that would be incredible. I think he's not going to go to the Cavs because he's still too good. I think you have to wait till another contract or two before that's a possibility. It's going to be in the twilight of his career. The Lakers make sense if they have the money to do it.
They do, trust me.
But they're in such dire financial stuff right now.
They signed Kobe to like a minimum contract deal. Kobe might be into it, maybe.
I don't think Kobe's into that.
I think Kobe's not into anything that has to do with him submitting to anybody.
That's what always worried me. And then they won these last two championships, and it was all worth it.
What about post-Kobe?
Yeah, and we haven't seen
that. I mean,
well, what's that going to look like? I mean, are they going to let him play for another franchise?
But I'll be.
What are you talking about?
They're going to have to stare him down.
Wow.
He said he's going to retire after this year. I mean, he said two more years. I don't believe him.
If he spends all that time coming back on an Achilles.
But on behalf of Kobe, I do want to say that I think if Kobe could somehow work it out somehow in his psyche,
in his brain,
that I'm not the go-to guy anymore. I mean, I'm definitely like the modern-day god of Laker basketball, but I'm not the go-to guy. It's LeBron. If LeBron came to give Kobe his due, I do want to say that I think LeBron could, and we all can agree, LeBron could use a little more of that Kobe fire, take over the game. Yeah, you're a great playmaker, but you know what? There's a point where you got to be just straight up selfish and just take it over. If Kobe would be okay with that, I think that'd be huge for LeBron's career.
Oh yeah,
huge. I mean, having a guy like Kobe Bryant say, "This is your team, take it over, dude." I mean,
that was always the Kobe Shaq thing. I mean, those last 2 years that they won the championship, Kobe did have to give a little in order to get a little. So.
The only player that's on contract for the Lakers, not next year but the year after, is Steve Nash. Everyone else comes off the books, so they will have more than enough room to sign whoever they want. Re-sign Kobe, sign LeBron. But, I mean, that's taking into account, they haven't re-signed Dwight yet, if they will.
And they don't have any young players. They don't have any young, jumpy, springy talent because they're always because they always trade their draft picks and because they're always at the bottom of the draft.
And if you have LeBron James locked up, and I argue, and you might think I'm crazy for saying this, but I argue they should lock up Powell to a mid-level kind of contract.
I don't know if Powell's going to take that, but okay.
But maybe, right? Something that's reasonable enough, but not maxed out money, so it could all work. Have Kobe on like a 1 year deal, LeBron on a 6 year max deal, 5 year max deal. Give Powell a 3 year deal, hoping that he bounces with.
I think Powell's fed up with it.
I think those guys are. I think with just names like LeBron James, though, I think you have always had those random free agent guys who will fill in the holes and will just come for like lesser money.
And I think free agents are overrated. Though I think in today's game you have guys like the support players on the Spurs and the guys that the Spurs drafted over the years. They did a great job drafting guys like Ginobili and Parker late in the first round, second round. I think Ginobili was.
Yeah,
right?
But
you can't do that anymore. I agree, but you got to have a young. You got to have some.
It's
young
the Lakers.
Players.
I mean, they have this magnetic energy that says come to us, come live on the beach, come the history, everything. I don't see, San Antonio working that way. San Antonio has to be smarter. They have to draft well. They have to find guys off the scrap heap.
Tiago Splitter.
Yeah, Tiago Splitter.
Gary Neal's of the world.
And it's Green, right? I mean, look at Miami. They got they got Bosch and LeBron from free agency because Dwayne Wade was there. And if Dwayne Wade was that big of a draw for those other two guys, how big of a draw is LeBron to another potential superstar?
Right, but I also think rarely do you get, a guy produces, okay, and then he gets signed as a free agent. Rarely do you get that production that
post contract.
that first, when he's not getting overpaid, when he's trying to earn, and then it seems like whenever he signs that first really big free agent contracts, talking superstar guys, rarely do they live up to that.
And what I said about the Lakers back between their championships, you had Ariza, you had Artest that flip-flopped in the year in between. And what I said was, that's a dangerous thing to do because Ariza was a young guy. He was springy. He was the only kind of youth and youthful wing defender that they had. And they picked up an old guy and they won a championship because of it. What's that?
I totally agree.
Yeah. And they won a championship still. Mm-hmm. So it was like, okay, fine, whatever. But I think in the long term, Ariza is not as good elsewhere. And now you're bogged down. And because you have the Artest contract this year, you can't go sign another better free agent anywhere. It's
not the Artest contract. It's a mid-level exception. What was it? It was 5 years. What would that be?
Five years,
28 million or 30 million or something like that. Yeah. So it's,
five years,
I mean,
it was more money than,
but it's not a huge contract. It's not Powell's contract. It's not Kobe's contract. It's not
Meta's at 7.2 this year and player option for 7.7 next year.
Yeah, so it's backloaded, I guess, or whatever.
But you think about if you look at other guys who are making $7 million a year, you have a lot of really good wing players that have a lot more youth and athleticism than
than Ronmon.
Sorry, Alex, I interrupted you.
No, it's fine. I'm just going to say, I think this just points to the fact that there's only a few actual superstars that are worthy of max money. LeBron's that way. Kobe was that way. I mean, yeah. Kobe's the highest paid player in the game. He doesn't quit. You know, he doesn't take days off. He's the hardest worker in the game still. You don't want to pay Brandon Jennings max money because you know he's gonna shoot 39%. Exactly. Yeah. That's why you have to
scores like 21 points a game on like 32 shots.
Exactly. I mean, LeBron, you know, I don't see him taking a break just because he gets a max contract. There's guys that have shown the ability to keep that work ethic up, and there's some guys that haven't.
And that's a good point. I mean, consistent all-stars compared to superstars, huge chasm. Consistent all-star, Tracy McGrady. Superstar, Kobe Bryant. No similarities. I mean, nothing similar.
I used to have arguments with guys in college.
I
consistent all-star,
yes,
but not superstar.
There were knowledgeable guys in 2000, 2001 who argued with me, Vince Carter or Kobe Bryant. Can you guys believe? I mean, and Vince got max money. Tracy McGrady got max money.
And to get back to Pug, maybe living in the moment a little bit. See, living in the moment a little bit.
I wasn't on that. And I wouldn't say that about Puig. I'm not saying he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I'm saying let me be excited now.
Carter is the perfect example of that because he didn't play much defense. He put up highlights and he scored, but he wasn't the guy that's going to lead a franchise to a championship. He could be a great second player, but he's not going to be the staple of your franchise.
And I think had critics paid attention to those early Raptor days, like in 99, When they got in, I think it was like a 7 or 8 seed, and Carter had some games where he was. I think Carter in some of those games where he was the go-to big-time guy in the league, he was like 1 for 19,
yeah.
2 for 21. I mean, crazy, horrible games.
Yeah.
And had to be paid attention, people would have been.
I mean,
like,
he never got to the finals until he went to New Jersey with Jason Kidd, and Jason Kidd was the superstar there.
What do you guys think about Jason
Speaking
Kidd?
Speaking of that,
yeah. What do you think about?
Is there other guys in line? What a segue, that, I mean, right? Brian Shaw. Come on. Jason Kidd, I mean, I retire. I want to be a coach now. Okay. And it's like, there's guys that are putting the time.
I know he was a point guard, but he never came off as like the most, like, I don't know, the most coachiest guy.
Yeah. The weirdest thing about Jason Kidd was that whole dichotomy there. When you watched him on the court, you thought, oh, brilliant. And I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but when you hear him get interviewed, it's like, I don't know. Why isn't he seemingly more...
There's a big difference between him and Derek Fisher.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's Lakers bias coming out.
There's a big difference between him and what's the other point? Chris Paul?
I think this could be a good move, and I think a big addition is Lawrence Frank as his top assistant, because I think Lawrence Frank is a solid coach. I mean, he didn't get what he deserved in Detroit.
Frank will do all the work then.
It's possible. I mean, it's entirely possible. But I think maybe, you know, if they're like a 1-2 punch as a coach, you know, Jason Kidd, he obviously knows what's going on in locker rooms. He knows how to deal with that type of stuff. And I feel like earlier in the career, he wasn't that type of guy who would take younger guys aside and tell them. But, you know, towards his Mavericks days and now with the Knicks, I don't think anyone wanted to listen to him, the Knicks. And that's part of a different problem. I think he could be a very good hire, but I feel bad for Brian Shaw because he's got second place so many times now.
Well, I think it's something that, you know, Jay-Z's probably doing because he wants to be different. He wants to do something different. He doesn't want to follow
Jay-Z's not an owner anymore. He's an agent.
I still like the point, though.
Oh, okay.
Mikhail Prokhorov does want to do something different.
So he's not jabbing Jay-Z's word.
Yeah. he's no longer an owner
because he's an agent.
He sold out.
He's gonna
Oh, that's right. Okay, never mind.
DeSean Jackson's gonna sign with him.
But do you guys
let's just imagine the last 20 seconds didn't happen. But my other point was: do you think that Kidd is like not bright, or do you think he's just not a good orator?
I don't know.
There's a difference.
Yeah, We'll find out. We'll find out. I think
maybe he's just not good at speaking.
But to your point. I think Mikhail Prokhorov is more outlandish than Jay-Z, dude. Have you ever seen
they're kind of one in the same.
Have you seen the jet ski videos?
The jet ski.
He's like 6'8".
He's like a Russian.
So, yeah.
He's like 6'8".
So maybe apply that point to Prokhorov. Yeah. Maybe he wants to just be different. You know?
He's the evil Russian Mark Cuban.
He's the Russian Jay-Z.
Prokhorov is like that. It's like that velour-wearing Russian
yeah.
that we've all met wearing like straight like 68 karat gold.
What's that commercial with the baby giraffes?
Oh, the DirecTV one? Yeah, totally. That's him. That's him.
He's like, ah, oh, I have baby miniature giraffes and women and like women wearing like gold.
Yeah. Gold swimsuits. I have many women. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You like to borrow one, I'll give you
women who have many women.
Many women come out everywhere. They're everywhere. Come here, woman.
They come out.
Okay, so speaking of the, and we're still in the NBA here, but I want to hear what you guys think about the Spurs. We haven't talked about them hardly at all this year. I thought they were an afterthought.
Halfway
I thought
through they were the second, just Spurs too dang old. Down nine halfway through the second.
Yeah, I thought Miami would come back and play better tonight. Yeah. And I'm not watching. Obviously, we're not watching it because we're doing this right this second. But we'll watch the second half. What's the deal? How'd they pull this off with how old their guys are? I know Tim Duncan has lost about 25 pounds over the last 2 years. Alex, why don't you go first?
I think Tony Parker is very underrated. And I think just the entire scheme, I think this shows that Greg Popovich is far and away the best coach in the NBA. Yeah. I mean, no one can stop LeBron. And all of a sudden, even game one, he didn't really do that much on offense. They just know how to stop people. They know what system works. And for some reason, the other teams are a little bit behind that. Tony Parker, in my mind, just straight scoring for himself, not as much distributing. He's the best offensive point guard in the NBA. I think Chris Paul is overall the best because he gets more guys involved. But Tony Parker is probably the best finisher at the rim. He's a fantastic...
Around the rim. Yeah, anywhere within 10 or 15 feet.
Yeah. And he's a fantastic mid-range shooter. And they get these guys off the scrap heap. Danny Green, who was cut by the Cavs. And, you know, they trade for Tiago Splitter. Or, no, they draft Tiago Splitter. Trade for Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard, I think, is, like, the biggest revelation. Well,
he's the future. That's what Pop said. Leonard's the future.
He's what... I mean, and I think he's better than this, but he's what I always pictured Ariza. You know, this, like, long guy who can run the floor and shoot threes and do some things. Better, yeah. Right, right. But that's where Ariza was going before they let him go. And,
I think they're just the best run organization in the NBA. And, obviously, Duncan and Parker and Popovich and Ginobili are a big part of that. But they know how to fit in players and plug in players where they need help.
It's kind of like the Bill Belichick of the NBA. I would compare him to that. You know, he can take guys and fit them into a system. And, I mean, they've been doing it for so long. I mean, they know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what they want to do. They know exactly how to do it.
Who they want.
Better than any team in the league, you know, because they've had those core pieces there for so long. So, you know, I'm excited. I mean, they can pull it off.
I didn't think anybody would challenge the Heat.
They can go to Miami and win.
I didn't think anybody would challenge the Heat. And I got to say that I have this kind of memory of Greg Popovich in my mind. I was at game four when the Lakers swept through the first three rounds in 2001, maybe?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, the second year. Yeah, that'll be
the first one. The second one was you beat the Kings, I believe.
Swept the Kings.
No. Oh, wait.
What was the year they swept through? That was the second championship. The third
You're right.
Third one was the one that you think got screwed on. But
yes.
The second one, it was the 12th straight win in the playoffs. San Antonio had home court advantage. They lost two in San Antonio and they lost two in L.A. I was at game four. And Popovich kind of just, you know, he was just standing there taking it in. But I watched his comments afterwards. And this is, you know, 12 years ago. Popovich is learning from Phil. He's like, they just kicked our ass. That's all there is to it. Like, they just beat us up, kicked our butt up and down the court. There's no, like, he wasn't making excuses. He wasn't, and I respect that. He's one coach that I really do respect in the NBA. And I really think a lot of Popovich and what he does in his program. I think the Bill Belichick comparison, especially if the Spurs win this year, is a legitimate one.
I think that the Spurs run just goes to show, you know, how much of the game really is cerebral. And, you know, we live in an age where there's a lot of, you know, super talented hyper athletes, I think, guys who just can get up off the floor and do amazing things. And that, you know, serves its place. But we're seeing three guys who have been together for a long time just cementing themselves as one of the greatest big three ever, in my opinion. I mean, and probably so boring in our day and age that we kind of have overlooked them and probably taken them for granted a little bit.
I overlooked them this year. For sure.
But I think probably even overlooked them a little bit throughout the entirety of their careers together. And this year now, it's like everyone's getting together and going, okay, these guys are serious. I mean, Tim Duncan, bar none, greatest power forward ever. I said it there, done. done. I mean, no one's going to ever...
What about Karl Malone's? Karl Malone's is a good power forward.
You know what was funny? Barkley said, Tim Duncan's the greatest power forward ever, and he's not in the top 10 players of all time. It was a crazy state. I mean, but it's kind of true.
It's the power forward. Because
you have centers, guards, you know, yeah. Centers. And
but yeah, speaking of Tim Duncan, what is the one constant? You look back, okay, Avery Johnson, David Robinson, that's when Tim Duncan came in the league. Now it's, you know, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili. The one constant is
you
Tim
had
Duncan.
Sean Elliott.
Sean Elliott, yeah. What did he lose? Like a gallbladder or something? No, what?
He played with one kidney.
Little difference.
And he didn't step on the sideline, right?
Yeah, right.
Sean Elliott
didn't
step on the sideline on that three-pointer back in the day.
Shot.
So, yeah, I mean, it also goes to show, in my opinion, that sticking with a coach for a long time is the way to go through thick and thin. And having a quick trigger, if you really think you have the right guy, is the wrong thing to do. And it's the reason why I think the Dodgers should stick with Mattingly. Now that there's been a lot of talk, I'm switching sports here, but there's been a lot of talk about, you know, hey, the Dodgers are playing so crappy, get rid of Mattingly. Hey, it's 162, to your point about it being a long season, it's 162 game season. You have to let a guy kind of establish himself and see whether you like it or not over time. Baseball is not made or broken in a month or a couple games.
Dodgers have had a lot of injuries too. I mean, you can't blame Mattingly.
Everyone's getting hurt. Why don't we just let the whole team get hurt and just bring up AAA? You know, I mean, now Puig's getting hurt. I mean, come on. I mean, there gets a point to where it's just too much.
And I spoke with the AAA beat writer, and he was talking about guys who are getting sent up and brought down and kind of who those guys are. Chris Jackson from Albuquerque, and it's really interesting.
What are they, the ISOs?
The isotopes per The Simpsons. So we're going to take a little break here, and we'll be right back on the podcast.
So I decided to become a cloud and start raining. And when I started to rain, it poured. And when it poured, it showered. And after it showered, it poured again. Those are the powers that you can have as a cloud. And being a cloud is something that I've become. Being a cloud is something amazing. I believe that you all should try it.
That's so sexy. Timmy Tebow, the Florida Gator himself, the big lefty, the fine American that he is, was
the fine American
is on the right team. He's on the Patriots now, the team that he belongs on.
Is that the right team, you think?
It's totally the right team for Tim Tebow.
Okay.
If there is a right team, that's the right team. I think this is how I would say that.
Okay.
If anyone can make him do something on the field, it's Bill Belichick. You know, if he can't do anything with him, then no one can.
He's got to play H-back, but though, see, right? Don't you think?
Here's where I think, you know, and I think between us three, I've been the biggest supporter of Tebow. I've never thought Tebow's a great quarterback.
Yeah.
But I've been the biggest supporter because the guy wins games.
Oh, he does?
So far in his, you know, what we've seen, he wins games.
It was a great run.
Kind of.
Here we go.
Okay.
I can tell there's
a
little animosity.
Which, by the way, I think ranked like 19th that year, the Broncos defense.
Did they?
They weren't as great as you've proclaimed.
Because they never got the ball because all the Broncos did was take the air out of it. a la like a triple option.
Totally.
Yeah. I can tell you're really sincere.
No, I what I was going to say is, do I think he's the kind of guy, though, that you groom?
No.
Then what's the point? I mean, what? I think last year screwed him up. I mean, it was a really bad choice. Maybe it was his only choice. I don't know. Guys like me who even kind of were like, yeah, Tebow wins games. He's cool. He can hang a little bit. I think we even lost some of our maybe zeal, I guess is the word. Mm-hmm. And, I don't really know what to say. I mean, what purpose does he serve on an offense that's prolific? And
I feel like the Patriots are going to try to use him like the Jets tried to use him last year, but the Jets are inept. Well, they said
Rex Ryan never tried.
Exactly.
There was something there. He was like, this guy sucks. He was probably pissed they signed him.
Yeah, and Sperano. I mean, Sperano was a terrible offensive coordinator. He didn't know what to do.
He got banished.
And, I mean, they brought him there, and they said, oh, we'll try these things out. They never did. I think the Patriots are going to try to do that. You know, he's a hard worker. That's one thing we know about Tebow is
he
that
he can learn another position very easily. Exactly. He can play H-back. I think that's where he's at.
So you think that's the motivation is they want to design a specific package just for him? Because but do the pros outweigh the cons? I mean, it doesn't seem like Belichick's the kind of guy that would want to bring in a media circus. They tried it with Chad Johnson.
But he won't let Ocho it be Cinco, a media
whatever.
Circus.
Didn't work.
They'll be like,
did you hear about Ocho Cinco, though? He got held in contempt of court for slapping his lawyer on the ass because the judge goes, you better be thinking you got one hell of a lawyer. So he just slaps his lawyer on the ass like he's walking off the field.
And the bailiff turns towards the camera. He's like cracking up. And she goes, you think it's funny? Okay. I don't accept the plea deal. 30 days in jail. Oh, bam. Wow.
Just like Luke was saying, you know, you bring him in just for a specific wildcat package or whatever they want to do.
Yes.
Is he going to be a personal protector on the punt team like he was on the Jets?
He should be. He should be because you could snap it to him anytime.
Wherever he helps.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and so when you're not depending on him to be your quarterback or your backup quarterback or even a real option there, it doesn't really matter. So you could put him in random things.
Don't involve me in this.
Don't point at us.
Yeah. The royal we, the editorial.
I'm looking at your face. That's it. You're the guilty one.
Off the money.
It's the moon man.
I'll play that. If
He's trying to be moony and make us go to sleep.
We'll send you the moon man, Alex.
Okay.
We're also going to send you guys with a CD from our boy Miles Davis. Are you a big fan of Yellow Card?
I don't know.
You don't know Yellow
Card? Could be. Yeah.
They have a song called like Ocean Avenue. I think that's pretty
popular. Oh, yeah.
So their drummer and our friend from Cayucas is in a little band together called LPMD. And so he
had a lot of our intro outro stuff there, still does.
Yeah. And so feel free to use what if you feel
definitely.
Like it,
you thank
know,
you
intro outro whatever you want to do and just bump it. I don't know what kind of music you're into.
I like all different kinds, everything pretty much except country.
Yeah,
I'm not a big country fan.
See, that's exactly what I say. I say the same thing all the time. Everything except country.
Yeah.
Although to be fair to country, and I will say this, I'm not a huge country fan either. But I don't find modern day country as actually even country. It's more like pop princessy.
Yeah.
Some of that older 70s stuff is okay. I mean, you got like Willie and
exactly
these kind of.
Well, I love Johnny Cash if you consider that country.
Yeah. He was like folk country. Exactly. You know, so.
I totally agree.
But starting with Shania Twain, it went down. What'd you say the score was?
Tied at 49.
49-49.
Ooh, the Spurs coming back.
Ooh. Good second half coming up.
Well, we're going to go watch that.
Yes.
Alex Clover, I really appreciate you coming back.
Yeah, thanks
from the Slow Late Show. Slow Late Show's on ESPN.
Please come back sometime soon.
Yeah, thank you.
It's on ESPN Radio from 10 to 12 at night, so stay up late, listen to the Late Show. On Wednesday nights.
Yes. Not that late. That's prime time for me.
Yeah, for me, that's like the middle of the day. Yeah. or, if you can't stay up that late, we have the podcast we put up there. Just go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheSlowLateShow.
The Slow Late Show.
I also want to officially announce to our mini fans that we are merging. It's going to be the Late Manship Show.
Not actually the case, but
a lot of million-dollar transactions going on.
Million.
This is a big merger. If you go on Forbes, it's there.
It's like top like million maybe.
I'd say so. Yeah.
Best case.
So I'm trying to like you guys on Facebook now. You're not Craig Ferguson, are you?
No.
That's the late show.
Okay, yeah. Right. He's a big fan, but he's not actually on the show yet. So, listen to us. We like to talk, all sports. We've done a lot of basketball lately. All three of us are big MMA fans. So, if you guys like UFC, definitely tune in. We usually talk about that every week. We have some entertainment stuff too, movies, TV. We're in a Breaking Bad shirt right now. Talk a lot about that. Floats our boat. It's a fun couple hours, and we hope you listen in either the podcast or live. Take callers and whatnot. So,
awesome. If you're in your car and you listen to this podcast, listen to that show. I will come personally. Mm-hmm. Make sure you listen to that show.
Exactly. So will Craig Ferguson.
Yeah.
and like always, you can find our podcast on Stitcher. It's a smart app for your phone. You can find a ton of podcasts on there, or you can find it on fansmanship.com, where you may have already found it. And we appreciate it. Thanks again, Alex.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Peace.